Well, they were given specific instructions, weren't they? And I'm going to speak to you today on some of those instructions. The Kohanim, we were told in that parasha reading, was that the Kohen HaGadol had to have the Urim and the Tumim in the breastplate. And I want to speak to you today about you, because you are the Kohen of today. And I want to explain to you how that Urim and the Tumim were to be used. Let us first go to Shemot, Exodus 28:29-30. It says, Aharon will carry the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate for judging over his heart when he enters the holy place as a continual reminder for Yehovah. You are to put the Urim and the Tumim in the breastplate for judging. They will be over Aharon's heart when he goes into the presence of Yehovah. Thus Aharon will always have the means of making decisions for the people of Israel over his heart when he is in the presence of Yehovah. Today we are the children of Israel that this is speaking about. We are the sons of Israel that are on the Kohen Gadol's heart. But if we are also Kohanim, or the Kohanim that Yehovah said that we were, then also Yah has us on his heart permanently. In the next slide in Ezra chapter 2 verses 61 and 63, it says, and the descendants of the Kohanim, descendants of Haviah, descendants of Hakots, descendants of Barzillai, who took a wife from the daughters of Barzillai and Gladi, and was named after them, they tried to locate their genealogical records, but they weren't found. Therefore, they were considered defiled and were not allowed to serve as Kohanim. The Tirshatha told them not to eat any of the especially holy food until a Kohen appeared who can consult the Urim and the Tumim for them. So this is speaking after the Babylonian captivity, when they went back to Jerusalem. And these men thought they were Kohen, they were of the lineage of Zadok and of Aharon, but they had no proof of it. And so, this is why they had to find someone who can consult the Urim and the Tumim for them. Yehovah calls people to minister. And especially when we are Torah observant, Yehovah speaks to each and every one of us as Kohen, and therefore he wants us to be able to be in a place where we know, like we know, like we know, that we are the children of Israel. We are one with Yeshua, the son of Yehovah. And therefore, we can eat of the holy things. We are no longer unclean. In Shemot Exodus, chapter 40, verses 9 and 10, it says, take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it with all its furnishings, then it will be holy. Anoint the altar for burnt offerings with all its utensils. Consecrate the altar, then the altar will be especially holy. When the people of Israel came from Babel or Babylon, there was confusion. The people who knew that they were Kohanim but did not have the genealogical proof to prove it, they were considered polluted. They weren't actually polluted, but they were considered polluted. So they were not allowed to eat the most holy things. And we find that the most holy things are only to be eaten by people who were clean. But let us look at Vayikra or Leviticus, in chapter 22, verse 1 to 3. And it says, Yehovah said to Moshe, tell Aharon and his sons to separate themselves from the holy things of the people of Israel, which they set apart for me as holy for me, so that they will not profane my holy name. I am Yehovah. Tell them, any descendants of yours through all of your generations who approaches the holy things that the people of Israel can consecrate to Yehovah and is unclean will be cut off before me. I am Yehovah. So this scripture from Vayikra says that the unclean person is not fit to be in Yah's sight, cannot enter into the holy place, and cannot eat the most holy things for penalty of being cut off from Yehovah. So many people today are born anew, yet therefore they are, according to the scriptures, Kohanim unto Yehovah, feel that they are unclean, and they feel that they are polluted. In their minds, they are polluted. The reality is that they are cleansed and as clean as can be by the blood of the Lamb. They are in Yeshua HaMashiach, but not living as though they are. And this is the hardest point, is to being able to get out of the mindset of thinking who we once were. Babel or Babylon means confusion. Whilst Yerushalayim or Jerusalem means peace. What a contrast. When you come out of confusion, you enter into peace. There are going to be some changes that occur in your life, and you are going to live life differently, but better than you did before. Confusion today is actually found in all religions of the world. This includes all the traditions of mankind with its superstitions. It is not only that, but all the churches and all the different Christian denominations are enough to confuse anybody, because you never know which one's the right one. And amidst all that confusion, people have been trained to think themselves as horrible, because they keep getting condemned and condemned and condemned. They're condemned by overbearing people that try to intimidate the people's hearts, causing them to live in fear. Ezra said that the Kohanim would be considered as unclean and polluted until the Kohen stands up for them with the Urim and the Tumim. Now, what do Urim and Tumim mean? They mean light and perfection. We are all Kohanim, and if we are new creatures in Yeshua HaMashiach, we will remain Kohanim. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, I'm not making this up. It's in the Word. Revelation 1, 5 and 6 says, and from Yeshua HaMashiach, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the earth's kings, to him, the one who loves us, who has freed us from our sins at the cost of his blood, who has caused us to be a kingdom, that is, Kohanim for Yehovah, his Father, to him be the glory and the rulership forever and ever. Amen. Do you believe it? The Word says it. I believe it. That settles it. We can't go past the Word of Yehovah, and Yeshua is the Word. So among the Kohanim are rising up some Kohanim with Urim and Tumim. These are people with a ministry that gives the light as to the perfection that we have in Yeshua HaMashiach. These are people that will always teach you how to walk in his ways and how to not allow yourself to be intimidated by others. The light and perfection are the key, and that you cannot have both without the Torah of Yehovah. Because it's the Torah that makes it perfect. You agree with that? The people of Yah are afraid to enjoy the most holy things that belong to them. But due to their confusion, many of them come from, they're feeling polluted in their minds. There is that overbearing thought that they are not good enough. They're not good enough for people around them. They're not good enough for Yah. They're not good enough to do his work. Oh no, I couldn't do that. I'm not good enough. You don't have to be an ordained minister to be able to help people and to serve Yah in different ways. They cannot shout his praises nor raise their hands because they feel bad inside. But it is Yehovah's Ruach-led ministry of preaching and instructing to us that we have through Yeshua HaMashiach that leads us into all truth. We are a new creation. We are born anew in the Ruach because of Yeshua's sacrificial death on that stake. And this changes us by a curse-free birth, and it's completely painless. How many of you suffered pain when you became born again? Or a born anew believer? And there is a scripture concerning the curse-free birth. Did you know that? It's found in Yeshayahu chapter 66, verses 7 and 8. It says, before going into labour, she gave birth. Before her pains came, she delivered a male child. Who ever heard such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? Is a country born in one day? Is a nation brought forth all at once? For as soon as Zion went into labour, she brought forth her children. It speaks of an unprecedented event that occurred. A woman brought forth a child in one day before her going into labour occurred. She no sooner had the first sign when her child was born. Who heard of such a thing? But it is a born anew experience. Although some Bibles will have a footnote to that verse, referring to the forming of the State of Israel on the 14th of May 1948. Don't believe it. Yes, Israel was made a state by the United Nations and was established virtually in a day, although it had been happening for 20 odd years beforehand to make it happen. It had been worked on for 20 odd years before it happened. But I truly do not believe that is what Yeshayahu was speaking about. Never in the history of the world had such a thing happened before. But Yah keeps his word. As foretold in Yechezkel or Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 21 and 22. It says, then say to them that Yehovah Elohim says, I will take the people of Israel from among the nations where they have gone and gather them from every side and bring them back to their own land. We are Israel. We're in many nations, but he hasn't caused us to go back there yet. And there's a reason for that, and I'll explain it in a minute. Israel did become a recognized nation, actually born in a day, after being away from their homeland for almost 2,000 years. The Jews were given a national homeland in Palestine by the Balfour Declaration in November 1917. So that's when the declaration came in, 1917. It wasn't until 30 years later, or 31 years later, that it actually happened. Ironically, the Balfour Declaration actually expired on the 31st of October 2023. So who knows what can happen in that land that they've given is as Israel at the moment, especially with all that's going on, saying to the river to the sea, trying to form a two-state nation and all of that sort of stuff. I don't believe that Israel will ever be the same again after what's just happened, you know, on October the 7th. For the state of Israel, for all the years the state of Israel has been in the possession of the land, they have never, ever been in possession of Jerusalem. Did you know that? They've never been in possession of Jerusalem. Not only that, Jerusalem belongs to Jordan. It wasn't until the 67 war that they actually got to the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall of the Temple that they could go there. That wasn't until 1967, so they'd been in the land 30 years then. Another thing, the Temple Mount, where the Alaska Mosque is, where the original temple used to be, is Mount Moriah. They have never had and still do not have possession of Mount Moriah. So everyone's saying, oh, you've got to get back to Jerusalem, you've got to get back to Israel. It's a United Nations state. It's not Yah's call. It's man's call. And that's why I pray what I pray every week when I pray for Israel. Because we are not called there yet. Otherwise, we'd be suffering like they are suffering now, with rockets coming in from everywhere. So many people are in the north with all that's coming from Lebanon, from the south that's coming from Gaza, and from West Bank. It's not safe anywhere. I mean, there's only 4 and 5 miles between the sea and the river. It's not very big. And so we are not called there at this stage, because Yah has to call us. And we will be there in his perfect timing. But this is not the time. And this has never been the time. Yes, I've visited many times, but I'm happy to go home again, because it's not Yah's land yet. Remember, the Holy Land is from the Euphrates River right down to the Nile River in Egypt. Not the little bit that they've got now. So we have to wait for Yah's perfect timing. What concerns me about that footnote was that it was completely a world view, and nothing was thought about the biblical view concerning Yehovah's children. In Galatians 4, verse 26, it says, "But Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother." Jerusalem in the state of Israel at the moment is not free, far from it. People are getting killed weekly in Jerusalem. It happened again this week. Three were last week, one this week, just that I know of. They're being killed by the Arabs, Palestinians, every week. Yah's children, or the Messianic community, was spoken of in Kefa Aleph, or 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, where it says, "But you are a chosen people, the king's Kohanim, a holy nation, a people for Yehovah to possess." Why? "In order to declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." This is why we're not there yet, because we are his, and he will take us there in his perfect timing. It is the Messianic community that is the holy nation. And Yeshayahu 66 is referenced to a nation being born in one day, and Jerusalem smothering so suddenly and birthing so many children to me, is obviously referring to the Messianic community, which was ignored completely in the writing in the footnotes. The nation as the people of Yah was born in one day, and that day did happen. It happened on the day of Shavuot after Yeshua's crucifixion, on the day of Pentecost. The year Yeshua was crucified, thousands came into the kingdom of Yah in Jerusalem in one day. 4,000 men alone, not women or children. Even if there is a dual prophecy to be seen of natural Israel and spiritual Israel, why is nothing said about spiritual Israel? It is by far the greater and more important issue as far as I'm concerned. So we can get so confused and off the main subject. If natural Israel's birth is a concern with Yah, is it not so much more a concern as is the messianic community to him? Nothing is as dear to Yah's heart as those born anew in the Ruach HaKodesh. But a ministry is occurring in which the main things are being taught and the main things are being stressed, and that is the things of the Ruach. This ministry has Urim and Tumim. It has light and perfection in Yeshua HaMashiach. And it clears away the clutter of confusion, and it is taught by those who observe and obey the mitzvot in the Torah of Moshe, not in the doctrines of man. Every born anew believer is a new creature in Yeshua HaMashiach. But our pasts and our memories cloud up the issue. In our minds, we are still polluted, no matter what the truth of the scriptures say. But if we have been taught the truths, then we are in confusion concerning our position. We will think we are polluted. In our minds, we are. But in reality, we're not. In Yeshua HaMashiach, we are perfect so far as our pleasing Yah is concerned. We need the light of revelation of what died with Yeshua when we died with him. So let us look at the question, what actually died with me when I died with Yeshua? We all know that mankind was supposed to die because of sin that came into the world. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, here is how it works. It was through one individual that sin entered the world, and through sin, death. And in this way, death passed through to the whole human race, inasmuch as everyone sinned. All of us will die due to sin one day. In Yechezkel chapter 18, verse 20 and the first section, the person who sins is the one who will die. That's what it says. If we have never served Yah and we grew old and died, the penalty would have been paid. And that is the reason Yeshua died on the stake, so that we could take his death and say we have already died in our sins, for our sins. Sin cannot rule over us anymore because we have paid its price. In order for Yah to look at us as if we'd had already died when we died with Yeshua on the stake, it means that as far as Yah is concerned, every bit of us died and was buried. As much as naturally dying and being buried forever to be left on in the earth, our loved ones walk away from our graves to see us no more. And that is what happened to us when we died with Yeshua. What died? Everything about us died. The old nature, the old person we were, died. That person is no longer alive. Though the world cannot see a different face on the one that was the face of a sinner, even though the voice of the person still sounds the same, though you still have memories of that old person you used to be, we are reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, If anyone is united with the Messiah, he is a new creation. Not will be, is a new creation. The old has passed. Look, what has come is fresh and new. In Yah's eyes, we died and are new creatures. We are new creations. But since it is easy for the world to think we are still the same person, because your face is the same, your voice is the same, etc., etc., our untrained minds that are ignorant of the teachings of the scriptures will make us think the same way. We will think we are still unclean, though we are actually cleansed and are new creatures and a kingdom of Kohanim and fit to eat the most holy things at the most holy table. If we are as polluted in our minds and as man so thinks in our heart, that is the way he truly is to him, is a mindset that needs changing. It's the mind that needs changing. Yah's changed us. We have to change our minds. And it's easy, as I said earlier, the Urim and the Tumim means light and perfection. You use these to give you light or understanding as to your perfection in Yeshua HaMashiach. So far as cutting off the person you used to be and be more concerned to the renewing of your mind. The real is deep inside your inner man. That has genuinely changed. Don't walk after the flesh or go by what you see in a mirror. I mean, how many of us looked in the mirror and said, no, I can't look in a mirror anymore? You know, we've all been through it, haven't we? Not the same as it used to be. Things change. But we're not to look at the flesh. We've got to look at Yah sees us. Don't walk after the flesh or go by what you see in that mirror. The same face you had before you were saved, the same voice on the outward appearance. This is what Shaul was saying by walking after the flesh. If you will die to that, then you have to walk after the Ruach HaKodesh. You have to train your mind to die to self so that you can walk after the Ruach HaKodesh. And this only comes through reading the scriptures daily. You've got to get the scriptures into your mind, into your head, into every part of your being so that old man in you can go. You need to live according to the Torah and what the scriptures say. If Yah's word says you are a new creation and that you are a new creature on the inside, then you need to act like it. You can't act like the old person. You have to live according to what you are in the inner man. It's not by sight, but by faith. Our deep inner creaturehood must come out through into our minds and be expressed. You cannot only act the way you think you are, but that is the problem. Our thoughts and our minds. If our minds are not informed as to what and who we are since we have been saved, then we are going to walk and act the same way as we did before we were saved. So we will think, why not get drunk? I'm still the same as I always was. Wrong. You are now a Kohen, a high priest, unto Yehovah. And this light of teaching you about who you are in Yeshua HaMashiach is going to clear away the confusion and show you how you are a Kohen. You are fit to eat at the most holy things. We have to take the emblems from the remembrance table, but some will not take it. Are they born anew? Yes, they are. Then what is wrong with them? Well, I'm going to tell you now, I personally do not take them. One, I cannot eat any grains whatsoever. And two, I try to keep off anything sweet, and I find that juice so sweet I can't eat it, drink it. That doesn't make me any less a person, because I still come to the table, I still smell the spices, but I can't partake of the emblems. I still pray, I still know and feel the same as you do by taking them. I just know my body's safer without it. No point in eating something that's going to put your body in pain. So I don't eat it. Doesn't mean I'm not born anew. Doesn't mean I've done something wrong or I've sinned really badly. It just means that I'm not able to. Yah knows, and it's between him and me that's important. What other people think about you is none of your business. It's between them and Yah. What you think about you is what's very important. And what you should think about you is that you are a new creature. Yehovah has perfected you. You are born anew, and you are that creature that he says you are. Don't listen to what other people want to say. We have to make sure that our minds are not polluted, because we are so accustomed to living by what we see and by what others see in us, that when we are changed in our ruchot, or spirit deep inside, we can't tell. And with the adversaries trying to change us and say things to our minds, you still look the same and you still act the same, then we believe we are the same and nothing has changed. But to make yourself available for teaching and serving Yehovah and for the light about your perfection in Yeshua HaMashiach, it is to renew your minds so that you can learn what you really are, a Kohen, that you really are fit to eat the most holy things, and that you are unable to enjoy everything that Yehovah wants for you. He is your loving Father, and he only wants the best for his kids. And this is why I believe he's kept us all out of Israel. Because he will take us there when Yeshua returns. We will all be, it'll be a lot to me. It's like walking out of that door and we'll arrive in Yeshua's feet. We'll be translated. So many. Stephen was translated. Yeshua was translated. There's so many proofs of being translated in the scripture. But I can't see any other way than by being translated. And we'll be there. Twinkling of an eye, as the scripture says. Are there any questions? No questions. That wasn't that good, was it? You all understand that? Okay, well, we'll move on to the remembrance service. I told Malachi we'd be finishing around about 4:30. Well, I'm not far off, am I? Malachi has gone to his brother's wake, I suppose you might call it. His brother died last week, and they haven't had a funeral, but they're having a wake-type party, which he has to speak at today and be there for his sister-in-law. His brother was 92, and so he's there to support his sister-in-law today. So let's move on to the remembrance service.